Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. This week's show, we're going to basically recap the nominations for the 2020 Flow Grappling Awards. We do this every single year because Flow always has some really interesting nominees that sometimes differ from our nominees. We are going to preview Fight to Win 160, which looks like a lot of fun. And that is pretty much it. As always on the show, I'm your host, Mange, my co-host.
Emil.
How you doing, Emil? We are
back again.
We are remote. Good to have you back, Emil. So if the audio takes a little bit of a hit, I apologize. When everything calms down, we'll be back in person. But until then, we're keeping the show going remote. How you been, Emil? It's been a couple of weeks.
Been good, man. Been good. Just doing yoga, chilling out, taking a breather from jiu-jitsu related stuff. But this kind of thing is fun because we just get to spitball 100% opinion here.
It's just like
as opposed to more objective level covering.
It's like, all right, what did it do with this foot versus like, yo, this match was awesome. Like that.
These are
honestly really fun shows, and I loved it. Which is why again we do our awards and then we do Flow Awards after.
It's really fun to have like a retrospective as well, because it, you know, especially this year, time means nothing, and I forgot that a bunch of these matches even happened, and so just looking back at them and being like, oh yeah, that happened, that was really dope, it's just gets me excited all over again, so it's good.
So let's kick it off with a little bit of news. We have, I think a couple weeks ago, we didn't talk about it on the show, we have three different ADCC trials dates that have been announced. We have the first Asian and Oceanic trials that are happening on December 11th, 2021. We have the first North American trials, which are taking place November 6th, 2021. And we have the first European, Middle East, and African trials taking place on the 18th of September, 2021. So theoretically, we're like nine months away from the first round of ADCC trials, pending everything doesn't get crazier.
Well, I think it's totally achievable for once, and the reason why I say that is, you and I know both know a ton of people in the medical profession who have been getting vaccines. That's great. Actually, today, my first friend who does not work in medicine just told me that she got a vaccine scheduled. So
that's awesome.
It's beginning to hit still like higher priority population, people that have to work face to face with a lot of folks, usually in education and stuff, but it's starting to hit the regular population, not just like the medical professionals and stuff. So I think in 9-10 months we'll be in a good place to have awesome
in my veins. I'm ready.
I know,
like there's three this of them going around, I'm down. I want parents to get it first, and then I want to get it eventually so my wedding's not to get canceled again. That would be great. Excited for that. Hopefully it actually does happen. That is the only bit of news I have. We'll talk a little bit. Fight to Win has had some fight card changes. We'll talk about a little bit in the preview section for Fight to Win that will come after this segment. But let's figure we get right into it with the Flow Grappling Awards nominations. Again, as we're doing the show, it is Monday, January 11th, 2021. The results of the Flow Grappling Awards aren't out yet, but all the nominees are out, so we didn't get a chance to talk about those last week. I figure we would talk about them today because there's some interesting nominees, and they put it together. We didn't have to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, why don't we start? I'm going to propose a path here. Why don't we do men's, women's, breakout, submission, and then end with the match of the year?
Okay, I think that's a great way to do it. Let's start with the men. So for the men's nominations of the year, we have Victor Hugo, Gordon Ryan, Roberto Jimenez, Felipe Andrew, Lucas the Hulk Barbosa, and Roberto Cyborg Abreu. I love in the Flow Grappling list, they don't even like put quotes around Cyborg anymore. It's just, that is part of his name. His middle name is now Cyborg.
Cyborg. He's a cyborg.
So who do you got on this one? I think I know who you're going to have, but I'm curious.
So, I mean, to me, you know, it came down. So, first off, I want to say Jimenez had 40 matches in 2020. That's bonkers.
His first year as a black belt, by the way.
First year as a black belt in the middle of this pandemic, he manages to knock out 40 matches. That's against insanely high-level talent.
His first match as a black belt was against Keenan.
Keenan. Yeah, that was this year, to give you an idea of just crazy things that happened in 2020. But that being said, I didn't pick him, and as I think he was insanely active, but to me it was it came down to either Victor Hugo or Cyborg, because you know Hulk had a decent year, but he also had some pretty big losses this year. But Hugo had an amazing record. He went something like 12-1, and his his very last match of 2020 was the loss.
So well, I think against Eric Muniz, against Muniz. Yep.
So and he went on a huge tear. And technically when he subbed Cyborg, that was 2019. But if you look at what Cyborg did, I pick Cyborg. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what he did was insanely impressive. Let's see. Cyborg, you know, finished Cyborg defeated Kanan Duarte, Lucas the Hulk Barbosa, Felipe Andrew, Trator, Rafael Lovato, you know, just huge, and you know, huge names. And he heel hooked Kanan Duarte to cap off the year. I think that's just like, you got to give it to Cyborg.
Yeah.
He's taken out the best of the best, basically.
Yeah.
And he is he's definitely cemented his legacy as one of the best of the best, you know, so.
And he turned 40.
Let's
not overlook, like, he's also by far the oldest person on this list by 10 years almost.
Yep. Main, we kicked off 2020 covering him at Kasai. Watching him ragdoll Hulk in the finals to win Kasai 7.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard to dispute that. Like, he's, you know, he had multiple wins against Lucas the Hulk Barbosa in 2020, you know, on top of everything else. Just a stellar year for Cyborg.
Yeah, I agree. I
mean, undefeated.
Yeah, I think he definitely had the best year. I think we talked about this on our best of show for the year. It was basically like our 2020 thing of the year was like, yeah, Cyborg's amazing in 2020. Dude had a banger of a year. I think he's pretty much hands down, just on record and competition alone, who he fought, how much he fought, you got to give it to him. There's definitely arguments for the other folks on the list, but I just think that Cyborg's record overall in 2020 stands alone here.
Yep.
So moving on to the
theme. Oh, sorry. I forgot drawing Nick Rodriguez, but yeah, that's a feat in and of itself sometimes. Yeah.
In the rematch, though. I mean, you lost the first one at ADCC. Like, 3 months later, you fight him again, and you draw him. You know? It was a great match. So, nominees for 2020 Female Grappler of the Year, kicking off Gabby Garcia, Anna Carolina Vieira, Elizabeth Clay, Rafael Geddes, Maisa Bastos, and Natalie Ribeiro. So I went back and forth on these for a little bit, and I love that my gut reaction. So I'm not going to tell you who I picked initially. But my gut reaction.
I want you to start. I started the last one. Why don't you kick this one off?
My gut reaction was one thing, and then as I did research for the show and looked through the records and looked how they had fought and how they competed.
What? You looked at records?
I pulled an Emil. Like, I knew you were going to be on the show, so I was like, I can't just talk out of my ass. I have to come with actual legitimate good information to back up my claims, because you will hold me over the fire if I just say some bullshit. So initially I was like, okay, I'm gonna go Elizabeth Clay here, because, and I think there's a very strong case for going Clay. I inevitably chose Rafaela Geddes is for my female grappler of the year, but I initially went Elizabeth Clay because of the year she had. She had finishing out her brown belt career, pretty much only fighting black belts, pretty much heel hooking almost all of the top black belts in the world, had a match with Gabby Garcia where Gabby Garcia kind of figured her out, and had a match with Rafaela Geddes, who kind of figured her out. But other than that, had an absolutely stellar year at the end of her brown belt, getting her black belt. The names she faced, the names she submitted, had an astonishing year. And I was going through and I was, okay, well, let me look at Geddes, because I remember their match together. I remember that Geddes had figured her out. And then I looked at Geddes' record and I went, Rafaela Geddes had a crazy year. Getting her black belt this year, starting it off with Pans versus Vanessa Griffin, beating Jessica Flowers, beating Maria Malgasic. Her only loss this year was a subversive four to Amanda Levy, who is trials winner, ADCC competitor, has pretty much beaten all of the top echelon women, still being a brown belt herself. I think she's black belt now. Submitting Tara White at Nogi Pans with an omoplata, beating Gabby McComb, beating Vanessa Griffin again, and that referee's decision over Elizabeth Clay. For me, after reading through the rest of the records, I went, oh yeah, that actually, I'm going to firmly pick Geddes here, just based on, like, getting black belt late in the year at Pans, and then all of the victories she had, and then capping it off with the win over who was initially my first pick, Elizabeth Clay.
Okay. It's interesting because I also sort of started off being like, oh, yeah, Elizabeth Clay had a really rock-solid year. I mean, stellar year. And I also said, you know, very, very good, but, like, you know, I think she's still... I think her ceiling, she hasn't even hit it yet, and she can continue. I ended up going with Maisa Bastos because she had an outstanding year and, you know, went undefeated. And she continues her reign of dominance. I think, you know, Maisa, it's almost like, you know, she had it going against her in the sense that she's already so dominant that, like, she didn't punctuate anything just by maintaining that dominance and, right, like, you know, winning two majors, and probably would have won the other two majors if they'd been hosted, you know?
Yeah.
She won Pans and Euros. So,
well, and she won the Grand Slam. And Abu, yeah, Dhabi. So
Abu Dhabi, and then in a super fight took out Grace Gundrum, who's, you know, new for sure, but, like, very dangerous nonetheless.
And if you look at the rankings, Grace, at the time of that match, was easily top five and could make a strong argument for being number two or three. And then prior to that, at Pan American, she subbed Patty Fontes, who at the weight class was number two. So your last two matches of the year, you take out the number three and number two grapplers. Very strong way to punctuate the year, winning both major titles that happened this year at IBJJF and the Grand Slam title for Abu Dhabi.
Yeah,
I definitely see your argument. I'm not sure I agree, but I definitely see your argument for just sheer dominance in 2020, going undefeated, putting up some pretty great numbers for the year.
Absolutely.
Any other closing thoughts on the women's divisions?
A lot of really good candidates here. It's hard to pick sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, for the men, it was a little bit easier because Cyborg had defeated, like, you know, some of the other top contenders. In this case, for the women's, they're more in different categories.
Yeah.
So it's harder to compare.
Well, pretty much all the men's nominees are all I think Roberto Jimenez is the smallest guy in that list at, like, 178. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Gordon up there above, you know, a plus 99, Victor Hugo plus 99, Cyborg plus 99, Hulk under 99. And
but also, like, not far from plus 99.
But I mean, like, all, you know, almost all of the guys now are plus 99.
Except they're all big boys.
And they've all fought each other. Like, Bastos is never going to fight Garcia. And so Clay is never going to fight Bastos.
Or Elizabeth Clay.
Right. Yeah. So it's an interesting kind of parallel to look at the women's divisions versus the men's divisions, because they haven't all fought each other. So I think I really appreciate the depth in this women's list, because it represents a larger array of weight classes, and I always like to see that.
I agree. So, for example, like, you know, I would not have thought to put Hulk on the men's list. You know, I haven't thought it through, but I would have figured, you know, maybe Mason Fowler, you know, just someone of, like, maybe a different weight class, you know. So, yeah, it was pretty top heavy in the men's. Why don't we talk about submission of the year?
Do you want to do breakout grapple of the year or submission of the year?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, breakout.
I mean, you had a whole system that you lined up, and I'm super happy with it.
Threw it out the window. Let's talk breakout grappler.
So, breakout grappler of the year, we have Tynan Dalpra, we have Elizabeth Clay, we have Sam Nagai, we have William Tackett, we have Josh Cisneros, and we have Rafaela Geddes. I love this list. I think this is of
the
all
list
the
is so good.
Of it's all the breakout grapple of the years that I've seen for all the different places that have posted them, this is by far the best list. This is also the list that gets me the most excited because I think all of these both fit the criteria for breakout grappler and are people that in 2021 and onward, I am extremely excited to see. There's not a single grappler here that I'm like, maybe it's like I'm amped and we will probably cover every single one of their matches almost in 2021. It's just, this is a top tier list of people that we probably weren't covering it in significant depth in 2019.
No, absolutely not. No, there is, except for Tackett.
We covered Tackett a little bit. We had covered Elizabeth Clay a little bit. We had covered Dalpra in kind of passing mention, and then we had covered Cisneros because of the crazy TP choke.
No, I don't count that. That was an amazing sub, but it wasn't like we were like, oh man, you know, like we got to follow this Cisneros kid. I mean, we had our eye on him because it was so thrilling, but. You know, I remember consistently covering Tackett, you know, even prior to last year, and Elizabeth Clay.
He was an ADCC alternate in 2019, so we covered him a little bit, but yeah, so this is honestly the list that I had the hardest time with.
And by the way, I would say, depending on how you define breakout, I would also contend that Roberto Jimenez should have been on that list.
Yeah, I would kind of agree as well. I mean, this is such a good... We have never had a breakout... We talked about this on our show, on our recap of the year show, of we have never had a year, Zach and I kind of went on about, that we have seen an influx of new, crazy, good, exciting talent at the level that we're seeing in this list.
And the number of just American grapplers, too, is, like, impressive, you know? That it's one thing... You know, we've talked, you and I have talked about this too, about how increasingly we're seeing fresh black belts come in and be able to hang with the best.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You know, it used to be, all right, you had like, you know, the Mendez brothers coming through or, you know, some other freak athlete, you know, even the Meows took a little while to be able to start
get warmed
like, really
up a little bit.
Winning. But then you had like Cisneros just exploding out onto the IBJJF scene.
Winning pans 2 weeks after black belt. Again, it's the 2020 pans, but still like beat me out finals. Like the way he did it was extremely impressive against Paulo Meow. Like, not like no one showed up. Former world champion Paulo Meow showed up and he beat him. I think that match is actually free on YouTube this week. I think right. Flo put it out. I saw it somewhere, and we watched bits of it and went, oh, that happened this year. So I don't have a... What are your thoughts, Emil?
My thoughts are, depending on how you define breakout, right? If you define breakout as the person who, at black belt, is fresh and then just started killing it at black belt, I go with Roberto Jimenez, who wasn't on the official list.
Okay.
Because yeah, he started off subbing Keenan, and that was a huge deal, and that was his first black belt match to start off 2020 at Who's Number One, and then obviously like you know won several kumites at Third Coast, and you know had some really flashy subs, had a outstanding year, had 40 matches, you know, great grappler. If you're talking about breakout grappler as in you didn't really know their name at all and now you know their name, I would go with Josh Cisneros. And, you know, because he had, yes, he had the TP choke in Fight to Win as a purple belt. I don't think many people, you know, had him in mind and knew the name, and then he just comes out, he just starts killing it on the IBJJF scene and you know taking out some of the best talent multiple world time champions. You know,
this is definitely weird. I think your point on Jimenez is really good. Although, considering that in the start of 2020 he was headlining with Keenan, like I'm curious to see if like he. I think in 2019 he broke out kind of by our definition, but your definition was, if you consider it getting black belt and then breaking out, he is definitely a case for that. But then you get a guy like Cisneros also gets black belt this year and starts killing it. And then a guy and woman, Tackett and Clay, spent the majority of this year as brown belts, had crazy runs.
So hard to pick. Like, Tackett had such an outrageously good year, too. And Clay did as well. Like, it's insanely hard to pick. The only thing that separated Cisneros for me was winning an IBJJF major is like, especially with world champions in your division, that's a standout achievement to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to argue with that.
For me, I'm going to go with Tackett here. I think Cisneros definitely overall with the achievement for the major win, but overall the consistent level of competition increase that we've seen from Tackett and his ability to continue to rise to the challenge as the year goes on through 2020.
And get subs.
Yes.
And he's a finisher.
The consistent way that he did it for me is what's going to put him as breakout grappler of the year, because he's a guy that almost followed like a regular path of incremental, like next step up, next step up, next step up, next step up. And now he's headlining Fight to Win against John Combs, was going to be Wagner Hosha. Both of those matches are matches I want to see, and went from like in 2019, not a headliner, definitely a guy we were looking at and watching and doing, to 2020. He is a routine headliner for the cards he's on. And that, for me, just speaks to, like, breakthrough of the year. For me, personally, I wouldn't put Jimenez there, because Jimenez headlined at the beginning of the year. He broke out in 2019, and then 2020, it kind of established that, yep, he was here to stay and he could contend at that level. Tackett's a guy who showed us in 2020 that he can consistently compete at that level and is continuing to get better. It's kind of weird not to include Rafael Geddes here as well, but I think she was already like more established and is beginning to make her big rise up and make waves, and we'll see much more of her in 2021. But the way in which Tackett moved through 2020 for me is what does it.
Yeah, and just looking at who he has, not just victories against, but submission victories against. He has an inside heel hook against Wiltsy. He has a rear naked choke against Gabriel Checo. He has a arm triangle against Tex Johnson. He has an inside heel hook against Felipe Andrew. Those are stellar achievements. And that's all in 2020.
And those are all ranked guys.
Those are all ranked guys. So, yeah, I definitely see what you're saying in terms of just, like almost, like, flashiness. And pretty good consistency, too. His only losses out of, like, maybe 15 matches are Pedro Mourinho, Roberto Jimenez, and Hulk. And that's it.
Yeah, all guys that are on the top grapple of the year list.
And he's how old? He's what, like 17 or something?
No, he's like 19, 20 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
His younger brother is 17, I think.
Okay.
That's why. There's three of them. There's three Tackett brothers. William is the oldest. Andrew is the youngest. Oh, sorry, he's the middle. And then there's one more whose name I do not recall, but we're going to cover him more in 2021. I'm sure of it.
I would say also, like, and you brought this up during the Hulk match, that, William had increased so much in size, you know, and so he might pull a Gordon Ryan and just get fucking huge, you know.
I'm down.
And then all of a sudden, you know, now is being able to tap, like, you know, world champs. We'll see. I definitely am not angry about your pick. I think it's also, like, it's hard. I would have been happy with just about any of these picks, because I think they're all standout. It's a great It's a great thing to have all of these exciting grapplers coming out.
And even kind of the point, the other grapplers that we didn't mention as much, like Tyon and Dalpra also winning multiple double golds at Brown, moving into the black belt scene, having good matches as a black belt, debuting. And same thing with Sam Nagai, you know, consistently seeing him on the fight to win circuit, fighting harder and harder competition and looking better and better. Everyone on this list is good, and everyone on this list deserves your attention moving into 2021. This is an absolutely outstanding list of breakout grapplers, and it really makes me exciting for the show in 2021 because these are athletes that we're going to get to cover. So, any other kind of closing pieces on that?
All right, just great list.
Let's move into the nominations for the 2020 Submission of the Year. We got Kainan Duarte's rear naked choke against Rodolfo Vieira, who's number one. We got Felipe Andrews' arm triangle versus Keenan Cornelius at the IBJJF Euros. Holy shit, that was this year. Gordon Ryan's arm triangle versus triangle armbar of Kyle Bamet, who's number one. Igor Tanabe's Gubber Guard Kanto Choke combination at SJJIF All Japan. Kennedy Masayel's armbar versus Juni Ocasio at Fight to Win. That was at a catchweight. And Roberto Cyborg's heel hook versus Kainan Duarte at BJJ Bat. Now, this is Flow, so they don't include stuff that's non-Flow broadcast. I think except for the BJJ Bat and maybe IFJ Japan. I think that might have been Flow broadcast, but so this only includes those matches. So that's what we're going to kind of stick to, unless, Emil, you had something personally that jumped out that was not on this list.
No, and looking at this list, I think for me there's a clear front runner.
Really?
I don't know about you.
I have I know who you're going to pick now. I don't know who you're going to pick. I'm guessing
I don't think you know who I'm going to pick.
I have no for me this is like this was I said I keep saying this is the hardest one. This is the one where there's no clear like all of these submissions for me are special for different reasons. And so for me, it's very, very hard to put them into the same box of I like them all for different reasons.
Right.
So what's if you have a clear pick, I'm still kind of trying to make, I've been looking at this list for the whole week, trying to figure out who I would pick. Emil, who are you going to pick?
I'm picking Felipe Andrews submitting Keenan Cornelius. I think that was a shocking event for a couple of reasons. The first is, the main reason is that Keenan had not been submitted at black belt
in the gi. He'd been submitted in no gi.
In the gi, yeah, by Gordon. Yeah,
I think only Gordon is the only guy at that as of like last year. Gordon was the only dude that had submitted him in no gi as well.
Right.
In both that 90-minute time no time and the ADCC.
Right.
Like those are the only two.
So, you know, and it was that submission that got me to pay attention to Felipe Andrew and to realize how dangerous he is. Like Felipe, we've talked about this before when we cover him. And as a result of the submission paid attention to Felipe at any moment can submit the best. And it's weird because you don't know how the match is going to go. It makes him really exciting to watch as a result because he really can punch up it's hard to predict when that's going to happen. So for me, that one truly stood out. Like I'm going to immediately write off the Gordon Ryan Kyle Baim submission. I didn't think that was a compelling match.
That was a match that was sort of to be expected. It's sort of like we talked about that, and it was like, okay, Gordon Ryan. Now, had Kyle submitted Gordon, it would have been definitely on this list, but it was kind of the Gordon match going in was to kind of expect. Like the Duarte versus Rodolfo match, if it was different generations, different years, but we kind of expected Duarte to take that match. Like Igor Tanabe, exciting, but we kind of expect Igor at the level and where he's fighting to submit most grapplers he's in.
Yep.
So they kind of, for me, pared it down to the three matches, Kennedy versus Juni, Cyborg versus Kainan, and Felipe versus Keenan.
So, exactly. You perfectly described it. So if we're talking about stakes, I mean, the Kennedy Maciel versus Juni Ocasio submission was dope on two levels. The first being that I remember going into this match being like, you know, yeah, Kennedy had a stellar run at ADCC to get silver. To me, I was like, you know, it seemed streaky. Like, it seemed like he had a lot of emotion going into it. There's a lot with his dad there. And, you know, but could he maintain that level of consistency? And this match was where I was like, and Juni coming into this match had really proven himself, had an amazing set of wins and fight to win, was looking pretty dominant himself. Kennedy in this match cemented his dominance. When I saw this armbar, technically the whole sequence was gorgeous. It was amazing. And to me, it looked like a champion, like, you know, dominating and, you know, defending there. And so that stood out, but the stakes weren't quite the same to me.
Yeah. You know, it was also, it was at a catch weight.
Yeah. Catch weight. Both of them are promising, but you know, haven't established themselves the same way some of these others have. Right. So to me, although that was an incredible submission, and I think it's an, you know, definitely cemented in my brain, that wasn't the one that stood out for the whole year for me.
So year wise, when I look at the like submissions of the year, what I kind of think about is in 5 years or in a couple of years, what match will you go back to? And not based on who it was, but like understanding who it was, what match will you go back to and remember as like a, not a pivotal moment, or like a giant moment in someone's career? And
that's
for me,
a great way to put it. Yeah,
because that's a great way when you look at match of the year or like submission of the year, it's like, don't look at about this year. Think about in 5 years, if I go back and look at a list of like 2018, 2019, 2020, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, definitely. That was a crazy finish. As much as I don't want to agree with Emil all the time, I kind of do want to give it to Felipe Andrew versus Keenan for all the reasons you said. It's between that or between the Cyborg and Duarte. But the Cyborg and Duarte, you had two top-level guys at the same time, and Cyborg just technically enters. I mean, it's a very interesting submission, but it has a lot of other caveats, like how hard of a training, is it 2020, Cyborg's been active, Duarte's been less active, and it has X factors, and it's an exciting heel hook finish, but it is not in the same realm of excitement as Felipe Andrew versus Keenan.
It didn't shock me. Right, like the same way. And even though I think Kainan is like the shit, I think Cyborg is also the shit. So we've talked about this before. Between the two of them, it's really hard to predict who's going to win. I usually default to Kainan just because he's younger and the Atos guys just have this crazy game planning. But we also saw Kainan get heel hooked by Lachlan Giles, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's not a knock against Lachlan's skill. It's just the size disparity there, you know, was obviously something there. And even Kainan talked about needing to work on his leg lock game. So as a result of that match, and he certainly did, but like Cyborg is also a veteran.
It is not.
It did surprise.
It wasn't as nearly as of a shocking outcome as the Felipe Andrew versus Keenan that none of us on the show or on the entire team picked Felipe Andrew to sub Keenan via armbar. And this was also at Euros, the first time Keenan had been back. It had all of these points that not only in the storyline of like jiu-jitsu and these guys' careers were important, it was Felipe Andrew's jumping off point to kind of launch him to that next level of like getting super fight coverage and being headlining on all these cards and getting the invites. And it was Keenan after opening Legion. It works for so many different reasons. And I just thought that, that of this list definitely caps off submission of the year for all the reasons. And it was at Euros before the pandemic had wiped out everything. So it was a full stacked major. And the Cyborg and Kainan match, I think, is a match that we'll look back in the Cyborg and the Kainan and Hadolfo match, we'll look back as pivotal, kind of like, younger generation versus newer generation matches in their own respect, but the submissions for me aren't as surprising as the Felipe Andrew triangle armbar versus Keenan at Euros.
That's right. You know, I did not anticipate Hodolfo being able to topple Kainan, so seeing a sub there didn't surprise me. But yeah, I think the perfect way to put it. I think the way your suggestion of consider what submission you will think back on 5 years later, I know I will remember the Felipe Andro Keenan Cornelius submission. I just, you know, it's there. That's the perfect way to think about it.
So moving into our last topic, or not topic, even our last section of nominees, we have Match of the Year 2020. We got five. We got Gary Tonin versus Dante Leon, and who's number one? We got Theon Davies versus Tyana Porferio on Grapple Fest. We got Roberto Jimenez versus Keenan Cornelius, and who's number one? We have Oswaldo Mugino versus AJ Agazarm on Fight to Win. We got Felipe Anjou versus Merlo Santana at Pans, and Dante Leon versus Cody Steele at who's number one. Emil, do you have a pick? Want me to go first?
Why don't you go? Because this is the hardest, I think, for me.
For me, this is two matches. All of these are great matches, and if you haven't seen any of these matches, you should go back and rewatch them. They are all absolutely worth your time. Definitely a couple of these will be Rewind recommends in the future. For me, this comes down to Roberto versus Keenan and Gary versus Dante. And I don't necessarily even want to pick one of these because they're great for different reasons. The Gary versus Dante match is two guys, similar game, similar level, similar point in their career somewhat, going at it hard in an action-packed fire match. The Roberto versus Keenan match is, again, an old school versus new school. It has all of the things we've already talked about for what had such a great year for Roberto Jimenez, him toppling and taking down the old guard in Keenan, in the gi, in his first black belt match, not even going away and shying away from the lapel game. He engaged Keenan in the lapel game, passed, and did work, and it was really from a moment of match of the year. I definitely think you can make a strong argument for that, but if you want to fight fire with fire, I think look no further than Gary Tonin versus Dante Leone, who's number one.
Yeah, that one's my pick. I remember, leading up to that being like, these are two of my favorite grapplers, and, you know, and then them delivering it too, because sometimes you get nervous when you see that, because actually,
so Dante many times.
Leon versus Mateus Diniz was disappointing because of that weird ref thing, but it was great to see them deliver and to be like, yeah, okay, yeah, there is a reason why these two are, if I had to like create a list of my top five most exciting grapplers, both of these guys are on that list.
You know what the funny thing is? There is an argument, and we talked about this, I think, end of the year 2019 show. There is literally an argument that Gary Tonin has four of the top 10 most exciting jiu-jitsu matches.
Which is
absolutely crazy that Tonin consistently can compete at that level and can consistently bring the action as hard as he has the most fan-friendly style, and that's just out. It's just crazy because there's a list of other Tonin matches up here that are just fireworks. And it makes me laugh. Gary Tonin is something to be appreciated at just for the consistency that he brings us. Holy shit matches.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't have a ton left to talk about there for nominees of the match of the year. I think we're both in agreement there. Again, go back. If you have a minute, all of these matches are worth a watch. Watch them this week. There's great stuff to learn. There's great storylines behind all of these matches, and they're really worth your time. I think we need to move on to our preview for Fight to Win 160, taking place in Miami, Florida. Emil, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
This one is headlined by a black belt match, William Tackett versus John Combs. Emil, how do you see this one going?
This is, oh man, I love both of these guys. I mean, we already gushed about Tackett. Combs is also just absolutely, he's a tight grappler. He's one of these, I feel now almost embarrassed to we overuse this term now just because there's so many of them, but complete grapplers. You know, he's just one of those guys that can has beautiful wrestling, has great guard work, has great passing, really good subs, just good all around. Both of these guys are too, you know. I would say I definitely have Tackett winning this one. I think Tackett is just has, you know, we already talked about it. He's this year gone against and subbed, you know, some top level guys. And so I think Combs has his work cut out for him here.
Yeah, I kind of want to lean Tackett here as well. I'm pretty sure I know it's on the Fight to Win rule set, which is who is putting up actively the most submission attempts. We see that Combs has an outstanding guillotine game that he plays, and he talks about having something like a 60% submission rate with that guillotine, like 60% of his wins be a submission are via guillotine. Crazy guillotine. We've seen him punch up with the guillotine. Absolutely difficult and hard. He has a great wrestling game to back that up, but Tackett, I think, is on that similar level and is just willing to sort of fight, not I'm going to use the word dirty, but just willing to get into exchanges more at a pace that in the Fight to Win, if it goes to a decision, will favor him. I think that we're going to see both guys actively engaging in the wrestling. Both have wrestling backgrounds. Combs has a very strong wrestling background. Both have guillotine games. Both have passing games. Both have great leg lock games. I just foresee that Tackett's going to come in really aggressive and not let his foot off the gas for the entirety of the match. And I see the tone of the match shifting with potentially Tackett having either more submission attempts or actually maybe even being able to catch Combs. Again, I don't really want to discount Combs' ability to absolutely guillotine anyone in the world, but I just see the rule set for Fight to Win being more favorable to Tackett here than Combs. Combs has been like not hot and cold in Fight to Win, but he's alternated some wins and losses. I think at one point he was like 6-6. I think now he's like 8-6. And so he's starting to, you know, turn that corner, but the rule set has somewhat not been favorable to him just with his style overall. And I think Tackett is one of the guys that's tailor-made for that rule set. Kind of like a guy like Gary or Dante, they're just going to push a pace that is going to be favorable in the judge's eyes and Fight to Win.
Yep. Good way of putting it.
So anything else on that one? I'm super excited. I still definitely want to see the Wagner-Hosha match versus Tackett. That got pushed off this card. I don't know if Hosha's injured or what the deal with that was, but that's another crazy match. I kind of think that Tackett and Combs are much, much closer in size than Tackett and Hosha.
Really? I would have thought Tackett and Hosha are closer now, but
because I know Wagner's up at 185 though, and although Tackett historically has been 170, he's been taking, I think, the majority of his matches up at 185, and he's actually ranked at both 70 and 85, and I think he's actually higher ranked 85 now.
I think of Tackett as a 180 guy for sure, and yeah. I think of Combs as like more like 160, 170, but
that's my thought as well. I just think that so Tackett and Combs are going to be closer in size than Wagner and Combs when Wagner's really up at good point. I see your point now.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah,
I want to see the Wagner match still.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm super excited for when they make that. Absolutely. But next up, we got Jonatus Gracie versus Hugo Marquez. Who you got, man?
I kind of want to go Jonatus here. We actually have some nice Fight to Win now, does some betting, and they give odds on this, which if for this one, I kind of do favor. They favor Jonatus by 200 here versus Hugo Marquez. I'm going to be super biased here and tell you why. I've been watching Jonatus Gracie highlights this week. And that's one of those where as soon as I start doing it, I am immediately biased towards.
You're sold. Yeah.
And that's I've been watching his highlights this week for like, for the majors and in the gi. I'm just like, oh man, and he's favored slightly here as a minus 200 favorite versus Hugo Marquez, who's also like, you know, crazy good, but I just think that Jonatus Gracie is going to come through. I do think it's going to be a closer match here. I do see Gracie on top. I see him implementing his passing with some lapel work in there, but I see this being a pretty, a fairly dominant top position decision over Hugo. Emil, do you have any kind of different thoughts on that?
I don't, because, like, you know, I've seen some Jonathan Gracie, not enough to get a feel for his style, and definitely don't have a sense of Hugo's style here, so it's hard for me to pick.
So next one, we got Gabriel Almeida versus Pedro Mourinho. Amp for this one. So Gabriel is actually a minus 200 favorite again, and Pedro's at plus 165. This is, again, another step up for Pedro, but he's been making those consistent steps up, being, you know, on Third Coast Grappling and Who's Number One, consistently looking better and better. Gabriel Almeida, again, black belt, long-standing black belt, monster grappler. I am very curious to see how these two match up. I'm also very curious to see how aggressive Pedro will come out, because in the past we've seen Pedro come out extremely aggressively, push a pace, look really good, and then start to slow down. And I'm curious to see if Gabriel can sort of weather the storm here and sort of be able to push it more in his favor, or if Pedro can sort of blitz you and take you out very, very quickly in the beginning. That's something that we've seen work very well for him in the past, and I'm curious to see how the dynamic of this match plays, because Gabriel is not a guy that I'm typically used to just bull rushing guys, so I think there'll be a very stark juxtaposition between these two at the start of the match.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I will say that, you know, Almeida's also been, you know, striking pretty well. Both American Nationals and Nogi had a tremendous run, and, you know, I definitely, including winning absolute and in the Nogi, and almost winning absolute in the Gi, I gotta pick him.
Yeah.
I definitely think he's gonna take it.
I kind of want to lean Almeida on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Next match, we have Juni Acacio taking on Adam Ferreira. Juni, a big favorite in this one. I'm going to lean Acacio here. He had that one match with Kennedy that didn't go his way, but we've seen him routinely defend the bantamweight belt, you know, I think three times at this point. Looked good.
Yeah.
I think all by sub, looks very dominant. I, again, want to favor Juni here heavily.
Yeah.
Over Adam.
Me too.
But that bantamweight division is, you know, always ready for upset, but I just think that Juni, with his leg lock game and the strangeness of his entries, catches a lot of guys off and catches a lot of guys off really quickly, and I'm kind of foreseeing that here.
Yep.
Some other great matches.
I see dominance from Juni as well.
Yep. We have the other great grapplers on the card. We got Justin Rennick versus Jay-Z Cavalcante. We got Frank Rosenthal versus Mauricio Gomez. Those should be fun matches as well. A lot of guys kind of showing up to the Miami scene. We have a bunch of brown belt matches, purple belt matches, blue belt and teens matches. This one takes place on, oh, crap, did I lose the date? January 16th. Anything else on this card, Emil?
No. Exciting card.
It is an exciting card. So, that's it. That's what we got next week. We got a fight to win, 160. We've been a couple of weeks since we had a fight to win, so I'm very excited to get back into it. Anything going on with you this week?
Nope, just cooling out, man. I'm excited for the vaccine. I think all of us have been itching to get back to the mats. So just thinking about that is super exciting.
How about
you, man?
Literally in the same boat, just like looking at, I'm reading a bunch of the white papers and the journal entries, and, like, you know, just keeping myself up to date on a lot of the vaccinology and immunology. And it's kind of making me, I'm interested in it. I used to do a lot of vaccine research in my professional life, and this has given me an opportunity to be able to sink a lot of time into going through and reviewing articles and reading like I used to. And I kind of forgot a little bit how much I used to enjoy that kind of work. And it's kind of renewed a passion for that a little bit in my personal life. So it's been nice to have an excuse to sit in front of PubMed and pull journal articles for, you know, a little bit here and there. So other than that, not doing a whole lot this week, hanging low, hanging out, and just, you know, really just taking it easy as we kind of kick off the new year with everything going on.
Sweet.
Amir, you got any closing thoughts?
That's it, man.
All right. So as always on the show, I'm your host, Mange, my co-host,
Emil.
And we are the Grappling Rewind. We see you on the mats, whenever that is. Stay safe. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google Plus.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.